Okay, let's unpack this. Today, we're diving deep into a wild collection of online forum posts, specifically from threads dating back to April and May 2025.
Right.
Now, on the surface, this might look like just a niche discussion about a webcomic. But trust me, it quickly explodes into this chaotic, yet surprisingly insightful, exploration of internet culture, personal experiences, media critiques, and even the very nature of digital identity, our mission, to pull out the absolute must-know stuff, the really surprising takeaways that help you quickly make sense of these sprawling, often intense online interactions.
And what's truly fascinating here, I think, is how these seemingly random conversations, everything from super detailed character analysis to a film review and even really raw personal confessions, they all weave together to paint this incredibly vivid picture of a specific online community.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try and connect those dots for you, helping you understand not just what was discussed, but maybe why it matters in the bigger picture of how we all engage with information and each other online.
So let's start by looking at the very architecture of these online conversations. We're talking about exchanges from specific boards like HSG, Hot, Vvox, and Furby.
Right.
This gives us a direct peek into a particular online community, one that often calls itself Mejido-chan.
Yeah, and this community has a really strong, almost darkly humorous sense of its own identity. You see comments like, Mejido-chan won't die, I'm not that merciful.
Okay, right.
Yet it also wrestles with an internal tension. As one user put it so clearly, we claim to be a Homestuck space, so why are there so many posts about random normal fork shit?
That's a great quote.
It really highlights a common challenge for dedicated online spaces, how they blend a specific fandom with broader, often uninhibited chatter.
And speaking of uninhibited, a striking feature of these sources is the unique and often super informal language. We see terms like glubbing, fooark, biznasty, cull, grim, and kino.
Oh, yeah.
This intense slang creates a really distinct atmosphere. It's almost like they have their own secret handshake.
Exactly. And the specialized language isn't just random. It serves multiple purposes.
Right.
It's a way for insiders to signal to each other a specific kind of humor and sometimes maybe a deliberate shield against outsiders or even moderation.
Mm-hmm.
The sources even include these meta discussions about filtering content. For instance, a user suggests Kanaya must be redone into cabbage as a new filter.
Wow.
And another proposes changing Truth Nuke to H2THE. What this reveals is a really acute, self-aware understanding of language's power and how it can be manipulated within these digital realms.
Yeah.
They even discuss post-irony and safety-edged nonsense in how language itself is used. And just to clarify for you, glubbing here seems to function like a very strong intensifier, much like a common expletive.
Okay, good to know. You know, for all the slang and the niche community talk, what really hit me in these threads were the unexpectedly raw human experiences bubbling up to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
We see distinct user archetypes discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdos, coom brains, which seems to refer to users heavily focused on sexual content. Normies, or mainstream users, and even omers, described as younger users under 18 who are apparently better with playing along with weird people.
Interesting distinction.
Yeah. And there's also a casual mention about a zillennial Discord attention span. Just an observation on how quickly younger generations move between topics online.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, these interactions offer a surprisingly candid window into mental health within online spaces.
Definitely.
Users openly discuss depression, trauma from abusive family backgrounds, social anxiety.
It's quite striking.
It is. Some even share their coping mechanisms, you know, finding solace in things like anime conventions, cute cosplayers, and softcore porn as some of the only things worth living for.
Wow.
This highlights a fascinating paradox. These platforms, while often a mirror for deep personal struggles, also paradoxically become vital spaces for connection and coping.
Mm-hmm.
The very intensity of opinions, even humorous ones, like people who think Kuromi is a cat need to be shot, often reflects a deeply personal investment, showing how niche online interests can become surprisingly significant pillars of support or expression for individuals navigating real-world challenges.
So, after looking at the internal language and culture of these forums, it's clear the webcomic Homestuck is a massive gravitational pull. Let's really dig into how the community dissects the webcomic itself, starting with creator Andrew Hussey, often called Who.
Okay.
The sources delve deep into his creative process, often with a critical eye, noting that he didn't plan everything he is obsessive about making hasty additions fit more thoroughly.
Yeah, and what's intriguing here is how specific examples are used to back up that critique. Rose's mom's alcoholism, for instance, is described as a late-minute add-on.
Yeah.
Rose's elemental connections, whether water or rock, apparently were subject to a big switcheroo.
Huh.
Even Dave's bro's distinct anime shades are seen as spontaneous ideas that Hussey later tried to rationalize their existence.
So, not all meticulously planned, then?
Seems not. This really challenges the common perception of a meticulously planned narrative, leading one user to conclude that Homestuck rapidly switched from picking the brains of its character to Huey picking his own brain, which is terrible.
Strong words.
Yeah. It also ties into criticisms of the Gigapause, that long hiatus in the comics production that apparently called the entire fandom.
Right, remember that.
And ultimately led to what they call a borderline incomprehensible unfinished mess with an average ending.
Ouch. So beyond the creator, the sources also highlight the intense dynamics of fandom itself.
Mm-hmm.
One sharp observation is that the large part of any fandom doesn't even engage with the source material, just e-drama and pretty fan art. E-drama, of course, meaning online conflicts and arguments.
A common fandom critique, yeah.
And a recurring query throughout the threads. Rose Lalonde clearly indicates a deep fascination with this particular character.
Yeah, Rose comes up a lot, and this really begs the question of how fans interpret and even recreate content.
Like fan fiction or fan art?
Exactly, but sometimes in really extreme ways. The concept of Nazi Rose, for example.
Or what?
Yeah, described as a more confident Rose that took her objectivist LARPing to its logical conclusion and who apparently produces fetish content for pay pigs on the interwebs, meaning individuals paying for that content.
Okay, that's quite an interpretation.
It's a striking example of extreme fan interpretation, definitely. And then there's the desire for a brown Rose and discussions around Homestuck porn on platforms like Twitter, which is critiqued for moral dragging for the sake of virtue signaling, essentially, moral grandstanding, and newgrounds, which is disliked for a perceived lack of respect.
So lots of platform debate, too.
Right. It shows the diverse, sometimes controversial ways fans engage. There's even a specific discussion about dick girls and futa terms, referring to characters with both male and female anatomy in relation to trickster identity, and a user's plea for others to find inner peace rather than debate the presence of a vagina on futa characters.
Right.
But interestingly, there's also a desire for Dirk X Kanaya to just talked like friends, showing a wish for non-sexualized interactions within the fandom as well.
A whole spectrum of engagement, then.
Right.
Shifting gears a bit, these forums aren't just about fandom. They also contain broader critiques of contemporary media.
True.
One of the most detailed pieces is this multi-point review of a movie called Sinners, which received a perfect 7 XLRs out of 7 XLRs.
Yeah, that review was something.
It's vividly described as a true slow-burn, eerie thriller of a Junji Ito Spike Lee joint.
Which is quite a description. And the review offers a deep dive into specific cinematic elements, but it's quite a mix.
I see.
Well, the pros included things like lots of close-ups of black faces, being historically accurate enough, having pitch-perfect casting with a specific racial descriptor they used, and a weird fixation on sexual content. There were also funny, culturally specific slang like sheet and that made me smile. However, the cons are equally detailed. Criticizing that, God, all movies are directed the same now, with a general dislike for musical cues and editing.
A common complaint.
Very. The reviewer also questioned the historical plausibility of the KKK setting and the film's shift from nebulous demons to literal vampires.
That sounds like quite a shift.
Doesn't it? And the observation that the white passing one gets culled off first, meaning removed or killed, and the comment about the Negro dies first being basically a glubbing myth, reflects a critical eye on cinematic tropes.
So, applying real critical analysis there. Beyond Sinners, there's commentary on the state of film and games in general.
Right.
One user notes a common critique of modern movies, their reliance on predictable musical cues, stings, and montages, likening them to a Marvel movie.
Yeah, the Marvelization critique. This brings up an important discussion about creative originality, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In games, there's talk about JRPG endings, with one user stating, one ending isn't satisfying, it's not a very good game, and another challenging the evil JRPG church trope as an overgeneralized roulette.
Interesting takes on gaming tropes.
Definitely. The sources also mention Sego, Giantess dating sim praised for its entirely custom assets, music, UI, sound design, embodying a strong Dujin spirit, meaning independent, self-published creative work.
So celebrating indie creation, too.
Yeah. And there's also a critical stance on AI-generated art, with one user stating, "Their garbage only looks good at low resolution and when you're not paying attention."
Yeah. Strong opinion there.
Very. And finally, the analysis of the comedian's mask in Watchmen evolving from face with no eyes to eyes without a face as a symbol of him slowly becoming humanized through his relation to his nation is a remarkably insightful nugget from these forums.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty deep for a forum post.
Oh.
Okay, as we round out this deep dive, the sources touch on a range of politically and socially charged topics reflecting broader societal debates.
They really do.
For example, there's the mention of eco-fascism and intense discussions surrounding gender ideology, including phrases like trans or be-trans, heart and force-fum, and the more extreme incest ideology due to its deformity and reality detachment. Mm. Just to be absolutely clear for everyone listening, these are specific terms and viewpoints found in the source material, which we are simply reporting on. We're not endorsing any of this.
Exactly. And this really highlights how online spaces can become these unfiltered arenas for these kinds of discussions, sometimes involving very offensive or extreme viewpoints.
Yeah.
When discussing the U.S. Civil War, for instance, one user claimed they were taught it was the war of Northern aggression and that the slaves liked living that way, while another countered that both sides were Jewish and called such simplified narrative stupid and reductive. So just all over the place.
Very conflicting takes.
Completely. There's also discussion around physiognomy is real, the pseudoscientific idea that one can assess character from facial features, contrasted with AI-powered facial analysis, is pseudoscience.
So debating pseudoscience itself.
Right. These points illustrate the starkly conflicting viewpoints that coexist and clash in these digital forums. We also see comments about Japan's military presence and U.S. influence, with one user claiming Japan was subjugated by Zuoji, a term often associated with anti-Semitic conspiracy theories.
And again, just reporting what's in the source material here.
Precisely. No endorsement whatsoever.
And amidst all this broad societal commentary, these deeply personal anecdotes surface, providing surprisingly intimate glimpses into individual lives.
That contrast is really striking.
We hear about Easter dinner with a little bit of wine and beer and someone being sloshed. There's even a mention of fasting and its unexpected results, with one user admitting to having shit myself like 60 hours in.
TMI, maybe, but very candid. And what's fascinating here is the way highly specific personal details are shared right alongside these broader societal discussions.
Yeah.
The profound nostalgia for Bionicle, for instance, is expressed as, "It was there for me during my upbringing with my abusive family and generally went untouched by them."
Wow, that connects a toy to something really deep.
Exactly. It connects a seemingly trivial interest to a deep personal coping mechanism. And there are also raw confessions of fear of really off-the-wall existential shit, struggles with whether one was ever actually able to orgasm, and self-destructive urges I got from growing up in an abusive family.
Heavy stuff.
Leading to fantasies of the future being bleak or somehow fearic, meaning, you know, gained at too great a cost to be worthwhile. These moments really reveal the vulnerability and complex emotional landscape that can exist within these often anonymized online environments.
Wow. We've really covered a lot of ground today, peeling back the layers of these online discussions. Yeah. It's clear that even in the most fragmented and seemingly chaotic corners of the internet, there are deep veins of human experience, creativity, and critical thought.
Indeed. Yeah, this deep dive has shown us that digital conversations are far more than just surface-level chatter. They are dynamic reflections of our interests, our anxieties, and, I think, our persistent human need to connect, critique, and create.
Right.
Often in ways that defy conventional expectations. Whether it's dissecting character arcs or reviewing indie films, the internet allows for an unparalleled level of detailed, if sometimes chaotic, engagement.
So what does this all mean for you listening? Well, next time you stumble upon a seemingly niche or chaotic online forum, maybe consider the hidden depths.
Yeah.
What unexpected insights might be lurking beneath the surface waiting for you to discover them? What stories are being told, not just by the content, but by the very way people interact within these unique digital spaces.